Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." This honor, then, is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the cornerstone, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Lord, as we listen to your holy word, open our hearts to the power of your Spirit. Call us out of darkness and lead us into your marvelous light. Amen. Do you happen to remember a few weeks ago on Holy Humor Sunday? And we were, right? we were talking about 1 Peter. It's okay if you don't. It feels like years ago for me. So just as a little reminder, 1 Peter is an epistle. It's a letter that has been written to a bunch of different Christian communities that have been spread out through rural areas. So they're away from the cities. They're just little pockets of Christians dispersed throughout the area. And these are also people who found Jesus so compelling that they converted to Christianity. But even though these people have converted to Christianity, even if they weren't Jewish before converting, these new Christians still would have been somewhat familiar with the Hebrew scriptures. And Peter takes full advantage of that. He packs a lot of Old Testament text in this letter. There are both direct quotes and just allusions, like you just sort of have to know, people who were hearing it would know that these came from the Old Testament. We might not be as familiar because we haven't memorized it for some reason. We can start if you want. So we have to really carefully read through this letter. Because Peter starts out right away with this allusion to Psalm 34 by describing the new identity of the people have in Christ. They're like infants with a whole new life. They're not born again. They've got a whole new life in Christ. And they crave that nourishing, sustaining milk. And thankfully, God has given the new Christians milk as a gift of grace through Jesus Christ. And that gift of Jesus Christ helps them continue to grow. And then suddenly, Peter's whole metaphor just completely shifts. Just get rid of all of the milk, newborn infant stuff, it doesn't matter. Now Christians are compared to they're not newborns anymore. Christ isn't the sustainer with milk. Christ is now a living stone. Christ isn't one of those old, dead, rough, barren stones. Christ is a living stone. How amazing. However, even though God chose this perfect, precious, living stone, there are still a lot of people who see it as worthless. They don't see the use for Jesus. Beyond being a representation for Jesus, this living stone is also a reference to us. It's a reference to the exiled Christians that Peter is writing, because they are also rejected by their human neighbors. And even though they're rejected by their human neighbors, they're still precious in God's sight. What Peter's trying to get at is that our life as Christians imitates and participates in the reality of Christ's life. Just as Jesus is the living stone, we are living stones too. We're full of life and we're life-giving. Now, as living stones, we are to let ourselves be built into a spiritual house. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. That's a little bit different than build a spiritual house. We're not responsible for building it from scratch. We're not even in charge of the renovations. We aren't the architects of this house. We are merely the building materials waiting for the head of construction to put us in our place. And in some sense, to me, that's quite a relief. Because I'm no engineer. There's a reason I went to seminary instead of like accounting or engineering or physics or anything else. I don't know a whole lot about construction. So it's a relief that I'm not responsible. None of us are responsible for building the church. But on the other hand, it's really hard giving up control. Like, if we were to build a spiritual house, we here at Glenshaw Valley, we might think about capital campaigns and, you know, the bell tower, renovating some of the worship space, maybe strengthening up some plumbing and maybe some updates to McFadden Hall. But this building and renovating, it's not about the physical building. It's about the people. It's about Christ. And it's not something that we can do. It's something that Christ is doing. This new construction, it's also completely independent of what the physical church building or the people inside of it look like. We're going to have our church cleanup day here in a couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to it. This is such a beautiful property, such a beautiful building, beautiful people within it, and I'd love to have the outside reflect what it looks like in here. But when we let God build us all into a spiritual house, our human sensibilities might not be super impressed. When we come into the church, there might not be 200 stones sitting in the pews. Some of the stones here might be very well educated, while others might not have even finished high school. Some arrive in the highest fashions and designer clothes, and others have wardrobes that are made up from the discount bin at the thrift store. Some stones are top-level athletes, while others have difficulty just standing for more than a few moments at a time. Yet, God has still chosen each and every one of us to be living stone in this holy house, to be a part of the royal priesthood. Each of us has been chosen by God to be God's representatives to all of the people. We show God to people in the ways that we interact with and among them, and we represent all of the people that we interact with by bringing human concerns and petitions to God. So Peter grounds all of this Hebrew scripture, he grounds all of it in Hebrew scriptures by quoting Isaiah 28, Isaiah says, God is talking and says, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." He's talking, we like to say, he's talking about Christ. Jesus is the cornerstone, that living stone. And while all Christians are living stones, and we're all built into the edifice, Christ is the cornerstone. Again, not an engineer, not an architect, but I do know that the cornerstone is the most important part of a building. It's that stone that is, it's set in the corner of two intersecting walls, and it's chosen specifically by the masons because it's got that exact 90 degree angle. It's strong and supportive. That cornerstone is the basis for the whole building. Both, it's the basis aesthetically because of that, you know, sort of right angle, but it also contributes to the stability and longevity of the structure. And we have Christ as our cornerstone. And with that cornerstone, we Christians are more easily able to find our places. With that cornerstone set in place, you know, we know where we fit. We know where we fit in amongst one another. Because there's no such thing as a solitary Christian. A single brick, a single stone, that's pretty useless. Only when we're incorporated into the building, balanced and locked in with the cornerstone, do we fulfill our calling as Christians. And part of that is because faith is a really difficult thing to do on our own. Peter goes back to the Hebrew writings, puts in a few more quotes here, drawing from Isaiah 43 and Exodus 19, and he tells the Christians that they are the chosen people, that they are now set apart from others. But that status also comes with a calling, a vocation, a calling to proclaim God's virtues, to display God's glory, to reflect the light of God back into the world, to be a holy priesthood. The letter ends with a quote from the book of Hosea. Now, Hosea had several children who were representative of Israel. He also had a cheating wife who was representative of Israel. And Hosea had named his children, not mine and not my people, and without mercy. But at the end of Hosea, God says, you know, once you were not my people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hosea's children were renamed my people and mercy. That's a huge affirmation for people who've been dispersed all over the countryside. They're away from their homelands. They've made this wild decision to follow this Jesus person who's dead but not dead, here but not here. To know that you belong and that you are God's, that's a lot. That's very comforting. And it gives me a lot of comfort today to know that I am part of God's family. Each one of you is part of God's family. We live in a rough and tumble world filled with turbulence and vitriol, and sometimes it's really hard to know where we belong. But because of Jesus Christ, that living stone rejected by many others, we can be assured that we are God's people. We each have a new identity and status in Christ. Just as Jesus is the cornerstone, we make up God's temple. And this status brings us comfort and joy and gratitude that we just can't contain anymore. You see, living stones don't just lay around on the ground looking pretty. Rather, living stones are connectional, relational. Living stones take in the grace and faith and mercy that God has given us in Jesus Christ. And then those living stones return it all back to the world so that we might collect some more living stones. Thanks be to God. Amen.